Andrew lives all the way over in Cheltenham. And Warwickshire is a long way, which is another new thing in 2010. There have been really lots of formations going way far out away from Wiltshire. So he didn't get to the Wheat Formation until 3:30 a.m. on July 12th, about 2 days after the pattern had first been reported. And the sky was gray and dark and overcast, and it started raining when he was trying to set up his camera. But he still got some beautiful photographs. And as he said, Linda, it was worth the long trip because I saw in photograph three bright orange-yellow balls of light moving in the air not far from this pattern. And here now to talk in his own words is Andrew Perka from Cheltenham, England.
When we first entered the Lidington Formation, there was one thing that was very noticeable. Was that the way the barley was bent. In this instance, it wasn't actually flattened. The barley itself was half bent, and the head of the barley was almost as if it was bowing at the same time. The barley was just not touching the ground at all. It was just slightly raised off the ground. I've never seen that before, not in barley anyway.
Wow. Could you explain a little bit more about why you and others have said, and this is a quote from your writing at the Circle Connector and your website, quote, "This must be the best example in barley ever," double exclamation point.
That first initial reaction was that this was not physically possible by man. The way the lay was displayed, you just simply could not create a board. Not possible. Even if you walked over it with your own feet, you would instantly flatten it. So it was that impressive way the barley was bowing. It's something new. Barley being quite soft, easily flattened to the ground. But this wasn't. So it was more exquisite in looks. This was something completely different.
And I know that you have been in a lot of crop formations the past few years. What would be the next best compared to this one?
Well, I've been into about 20 to 30 barley formations, Linda. When a barley formation is nice and fresh, when you first walk into it, you always have that crispy type feel to it. So it's like standing on the fresh snow. You always got that nice crunch. The minute you've walked over that particular path, the crunch disappears. But again, in this Lidington, you couldn't walk on it. This was a creation of a different type. Just physically not possible for somebody to have walked over. I think what they're trying to do, what the makers are trying to do, is almost to take that one step higher, that one level further, because there's still so much talk about man-made. So I think the makers are themselves trying to do something different to try and make us more aware that, look, this is physically not possible. If somebody walked into the ball, they could not create Lidington.
The very nature of barley is fragile, and that if anybody had put a board, a foot, anything down on any part,
you crush it instantly.
Yeah. And you're looking at a formation at Lidington Castle that was reported June 2nd of 2010 that appears to be almost perfection in your ground photos.
Yes, perfection it is. In some sections, it's almost as if it's been combed. That particular section just was no crushing visible.
On July 10th, 2010, CropCircleConnector.com reported a new formation at Guy's Cliff House near Old Milverton in Warwickshire, England. Guy's Cliff Country House dates back to the Anglo-Saxons when Germanic tribes invaded Great Britain around 597 AD. Since the end of the 1900s, the ancient house on the River Avon has been in a derelict state, but the chapel is still used for Masonic ceremonies. On July 10th, an old Milverton resident was walking a dog on a path that parallels the River Avon close to Guy's Cliff Country House and a large wheat field that rises a bit over a small hill. Near the path, the dog walker could see some precise patterns of downed wheat and contacted the Crop Circle Connector. Because of the rising land, much of the pattern cannot be seen from the pathway. But when people started flying over in planes, they could see a beautiful six-pointed star of standing wheat encircling a much fainter six-pointed star in the center of flattened wheat. Crop Circle photographer and investigator Andrew Perka was born in Poland 47 years ago. When he was 9, his family moved to Cheltenham, Gloucestershire, England, where he has grown up, married, has his own family, and drives a taxi for a living. Andrew has become so fascinated with English crop formations and the mysterious lights associated with them that he and a friend drive as often as they can the nearly 15 miles one way from Cheltenham to the Vale of Pusey in Wiltshire for night watches and to get into formations as early as they can to photograph and videotape before damage by public visitors. The 2010 crop formations have expanded to several other counties beyond Wiltshire, and the longer distances mean that Andrew doesn't always get into new formations in the first hours. But he did reach the Guy's Cliff Formation around 3:30 a.m. on July 12th, about 2 days after it was first reported. Andrew told me, quote, "I love the beauty of the dawn, and I like to photograph formations at sunrise whenever I can. But unfortunately, on that early morning of July 12th, the sky was overcast and it started raining while we were trying to photograph. But it was well worth the trip because I saw three bright orange-yellow balls of light moving in the air," close quote. Continuing now is Andrew Perka about the mysterious lights and extraordinary Guy's Cliff Formation.
Right by the edge of the path, three orange lights appeared. So I tried to concentrate on these lights. So I had to take the camera off the pole very quickly to try and grab the shots.
And what were you seeing with your eyes?
It's very bright, intense light. The light is spherical, and the light is almost, it's almost like phosphorus was burning at high intensity, very intense, almost as if the setting sun was at its highest intensity.
Was it moving when you...
Yeah. When I first spotted it, the light appeared. So basically, it fades in very high intensity. And then all three of them went along the horizon of the field. And there's no roads or anything there at all. It's just nothing but tree line. So that was quite intriguing. But the light moved. This was all happened within a matter of 30 seconds, not much more than that. They moved across the horizon, stopped the house, and then fled, and they disappeared.
What is the difference between the yellow in those first photos and the very orange in the other photos?
Right. The way you see the photograph where it's slightly elongated, that is when they started to move. I moved the camera with them, so I was trying to capture as they moved. The camera was pretty much set to the standard a low light setting. There'd be no flashes.
So it could have been 1/30th of a second or 1/15th, and that's why there would be motion in the frame.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. So the elongation on the actual objects is three spheres in movement. When the objects are moving, I just manage to catch as quickly as I can. You shoot. And that's what I do. When the minute I see something, I point straight away and shoot. From the angle which I was standing, the other three were actually quite visible. The lights are there, fading away. One is still fairly bright, and another one is kind of just obviously still there. It's very, very quick.
Wow. The orange color in the three rectangles, which there would have been motion.
They're in motion, yes.
Are they orange because this was lower light?
Quite possibly so. I can only account for the fact that once it started moving, I had to then quickly shoot and point, so without allowing time for adequate light. So rather than capturing three individual balls, it's obviously captured a trail at the same time.